212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. Because everything old is new again. I like it.
Listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York, with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning.
Give thanks for the giving of thanks, Mr. Marlon Ashley.
How are you feeling? I hope your day is getting off to a great start. It's time for Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the many overnight or essential workers just getting home, let us tuck you in. It's a new day. It's a new week, a new month, a new decade. Breakthrough in 22. We opened up with Love of Jah by Marlon Asher. Reminds me of Marley a little bit, but he's from Trinidad. And I want to thank, you can check him out at MrMarlonAsher.com. And I'd like to thank him. I'd like to thank the Rastaman at the Bodega for turning me on to him. Great. Then, of course, our theme song, Feeling Good, by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters. But first, let's tell you what's going on today. A 10-year-old black girl and her family must make the choice between slavery and freedom. This is the theme of a play running for the next 2 weeks outdoors in area parks. It's free, and the director joins us to share the story and connect us to this area's Underground Railroad. In the second half of the program, social unrest in the U.S. hit the boiling point on September 9th, 1971, when incarcerated people at New York's Attica prison, after months of protesting inhumane living conditions, revolted, seizing part of the prison and taking 39 hostages. A documentary on the rebellion, unavailable for 33 years, is now being able to be shown. It's showing this Wednesday, along with a panel of Attica survivors and lawyers, and you can see it for free, so stay with us. But first, weather and transit. It's 69 degrees, cloudy, a high today of 83, low of 72, sunrise 6:33, sunset 7:10. For the morning, 73 degrees, mostly cloudy, 7% chance of rain. For the afternoon, 81 degrees, partly cloudy, 15% chance of rain. For the evening, 74 degrees, scattered thunder showers, high of 75. On to transit. Delays on the D and J lines, planned service changes on the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, AC, BD, JC, L, QW, and the 42nd Street Shuttle and the SIR line. So go to mta.info for the latest on your local and regional bus and train travel. And now on with the program.
Underground Railroad, everybody get on board. So come on, children, we're bound for freedom. We'll make it by the help of the Lord.
Hear the children say.
Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. If you're just joining us, I'm King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskin is engineering in studio. In the background, Underground Railroad. Excuse me, it's a classic song, but this is the version produced and recorded by the Armstrong School. And on today's program, a 10-year-old black girl and her family must make the choice between slavery and freedom. This is the theme of a play running for the next 2 weeks outdoors in area parks, and it's free. The director joins us to share the story and its connection to this area's Underground Railroad. The play is Walk by the Way of the Moon. It's presented by the Speranza Theater Company. It's free and touring Hudson County, New Jersey through September 18th. And joining us is Tia Dion Hodge, the director of the play Walk by the Way of the Moon. Good morning, Tia. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I want to thank Crystal Letters for turning me on to this. She's always pointing out great stuff that's going on in Jersey that we need to go across the river, those of us on this side of the river, and check it out. Before I start my conversation with you, I just wanted to say the reason why I wanted this to be on the show is that it hits two of the areas that are very close to me. The first one is the world of theater and performance and culture, and the second is our history. And the Underground Railroad has been an undertold story, especially as it exists in this area. We hear about the South. So I'll step out of the way and tell me, what is the name of this 10-year-old girl, and what is she and her family facing?
Well, the name of the 10-year-old, well, actually, in the play, she's nine.
And
she even tells us, at the top of the show that she is, as she says, I've got 9 years. Her name is Fleeta Hazel. And she tells the story of how she and her family, her mama, her aunt, and her uncle, ran up here, actually, to Jersey City. They ran from Bluffton, South Carolina. And as she says, it's on the coast, which they call the Low Country, where they grow rice crops. And it's a tough journey, but told quite beautifully by a 9-year-old, but by our actress Cassandra Adborzo.
So tell me something.
She plays our 9-year-old.
Tell me something about her. That's quite a role for a young person to take on in terms of the weight of the role.
Well, she's not actually 9 years old.
Yeah, right.
In fact, I don't ask my actors how old they are.
Good.
I just when they come in the room and we audition them and we know that they fit this part, she plays a 9-year-old beautifully. She has the energy and... she's got the spirit. And that is truly why I wanted to work with my actors. It's not just her, Asia Marsh, Donnie Barnes, Chris Grant, Deontay Griffin Quick. They make up the full company of this piece. And there is something quite special about these actors together playing this family.
So let's...
Going through the trials and tribulations.
Yeah, so speaking of the trials and tribulations, take us to one of the crisis points in the play.
Oh, there's a few. I would say that one of the biggest ones that they have to tackle is when they make their way, I don't want to give too much away, when they make their way through a swamp and something happens to Mama that puts her on the edge of something that could probably take her life. And again, through the eyes of Fleeta Hazel, almost seeing that moment when she could lose her mom, it's a poignant moment. And especially, I think, because not only having to run as a little person, but also being told in the beginning, how difficult it is, not just for adults, but as a 9-year-old to run. That's an extra concern to not only have your full family, but having the full family make it there safely with a young person in tow. That's a lot on a little person, like I said.
So I like that this focuses on an age group that we wouldn't expect. What do we know about her experiences in slavery? Is that covered?
No, actually it is not, which I really appreciate. Of course, I grew up, I watched Roots. I even watched the new version of Roots. Read plenty of books and things growing up about what that was in history class and such. I think what makes this piece important is we get the flavor of what it is and what it was. I think young people will be more excited to see what happens when it comes to getting freedom. Not necessarily what happened in slavery. I think they know. I hope they know. I hope our educational system is doing its best to inform. But we want to show the battle and the journey getting here, and here particularly to Jersey City, New Jersey, which was the last stop on the Underground Railroad. It's based historically, of course, in real places that were stopped, and we do name some real people that did exist and lived in New Jersey at the time who were abolitionists and conductors on the Underground Railroad. So I think that's important. There is a mention of one particular person that was hurt, so it does give a taste, if you will, but only through the eyes of Fleeta, Fleeta Hazel, which I think is, of course, is important, what it would look like from her point of view to see another person who was enslaved be hurt. And I'm trying to, I want to word it in a way that when parents bring their children to see this, that they know that they won't be seeing violence, and that's important. Although there was plenty of it, and I want to make sure that parents know that when their young people come, that they will be not only educated, they'll be entertained, but they will see something that's important that will get the conversation rolling. It's not just, oh, play ended in the 35 minutes that it runs. But hopefully this will be a conversation between parents and educators and teachers and students that will continue long after that 35 minutes. That doesn't necessarily contain violence, but they can talk about why the play needed to be done in the first place, which of course does have that violence.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here till 7 a.m. And Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. And we are talking about the ongoing production of, and this is by the Speranza Theater Company, of Walk by the Way of the Moon. And we have with us the director of the play, Tia Dion Hodge. And the play is running through the 18th of September. It started around the 10th. And it's playing in probably about a dozen different locations during that time around Hudson County, New Jersey, and Jersey City, Kearney Harrison, Bayonne. And you can go to SperanzaTheater.com, Speranza, S-P-E-R-A-N-Z-A, theater.com, to learn how you can check out this play outdoors, free, but reservations are required. And we'll announce that again, SperanzaTheater.com. And we're also going to be opening up the phone lines. What are your reflections on the Underground Railroad? Do you know any Underground Railroad locations in the greater metropolitan area, New York, New Jersey? Have you visited any? Have you been in any plays? Anything that you want to talk about, plus all of the current events, and there's plenty going on, you can call us at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. That's the WBAI, Good Morning Nueva York, listener line. And we'll be taking your calls. The line is brought to you by some folks that we hope you're a part of or some folks that you'll become part of. And that is our supporters of this 62-year-old nonprofit community radio station. The station has meant so much to me. It was where I returned to radio after not being there for a good while, and I've returned to BAI again after not being here for a good while. It's always been the place where I got information. I changed my diet because of programs on here, health and wellness programs on this station. I've expanded my love of music. I've learned so much about current events. It's the place I go right to when some kind of drama has happened internally or outside of the U.S., and I need to get the real deal, and I hope you will, too. You'll join us by becoming a member for as little as $25. Larger gifts get you great. Larger donations get you greater gifts, such as books, music, health products, films, all sorts of things. So please, become a member of the station. Put your money where your ears are. Go to givetowbai.org. givetowbai.org. Our listener line, our WBAI Good Morning Nueva York listener line, is also brought to you by our WBAI buddies. These are also special folks who have decided to support the station by having monthly transfers from their bank accounts to WBAI's account. For as little as $10 a month, you can become a WBAI buddy and give the station much needed income that can be counted on every single month. So I hope you will become part of that crew and give any amount, whatever you can, to keep us going and make this the place, continue to be the place where you go, where you get the information you need. So the phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. 877-212-209-2877. Don't be shy. Tell us about your reflections on the Underground Railroad or anything else you want to talk about. So let's turn to you, Tia Dion Hodge, who's the director of Walk by the Way of the Moon. How did you get involved in this, and what do you bring to Jacqueline Kennedy's story?
Oh, wow. I got involved last summer, when our executive producer asked me, that's Heather Wall, our producer, asked me if I would like to do the reading, direct the reading. And I had so much fun. We had some of our, some of the actors that worked on the, worked with me on the reading came back this year to actually do the full production. So yes, I've been involved for a little while on the piece. And what do I bring? That's a lovely question. One, I'm hoping that my actors, one, and two, Jacqueline Kennedy, the playwright, know that I bring, one, my sensitivity to the piece, that I'm an actor myself. I'm a playwright as well, so I'm sensitive to both, them being actors and Jacqueline being a playwright. And that I have an imagination. I hope I bring all of my imagination. I also want to, bring an understanding that when my actors, and I say my, I know I might say that a lot, but I love them. I adore them. And I got to know them even better doing this piece. So I'm so grateful to Heather for allowing me to come back, because I feel that in order to create the family that we see together in this journey, our company of actors had to become a little family as well, and I appreciate that. So I think I bring a sense of togetherness, because there's a lot of meat on the bone in this particular play that Jacqueline has created, and I wanted them to have every little taste of it. So I hope I bring an urgency to eat as much of this piece as they can as actors.
So here you are bringing these food analogies, and I haven't had breakfast yet, but we're going to keep that around. So,
I know with my actors, I know they're like, "Well, you bring so many analogies." I think that's because I'm a preacher's kid, and that's what my dad would. He would, I'll bring up all these analogies, but I think that way. I think that way, especially with this piece, because traveling, you can see a map, and in my head, this was a map of not only the actual literal map of where they went and how they went, but it's a map of the heart. You have to have a soul-burning desire and the heart to leave, not only leave where you are and go to where you've never been, don't know how to get there, but to be led and have the desire so much that you would be led in the dark every night for how long to get there, to get to freedom. Oh, yes, I had to be involved. And yes, because I love young people, and I've also been a teacher. I've been teaching acting for, I won't even say how long, because I refuse to tell you how
Tia,
long.
Tia, I'm going to jump in here because we have a caller, but I hear the preacher in you, and I hear the teacher in you. So let's go to our caller. Uh-oh. Caller, you're on Good Morning Nueva York. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Your question or comment?
Veronica from Brooklyn, New York. With such passion, hearing her love and her, I want to know where the plays are showing in New York City. If not, I think Barbara Antier would be a great space for it in Harlem. And that's I think that would be wonderful. And it sounds like from Enslavement to Belovedness by Dr. Adelaide Sanford, the book.
Okay. So, Thanks, Veronica. She is calling for the play to come to New York City, and she also put in a plug for a book. So she got a double turn in there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of the dates and the locations. It is not in New York City yet. It's in Hudson County and various cities in that county. So you can go to SperanzaTheater.com and get the full schedule. So, for example, it will be playing in Van Forst Park in Jersey City on Friday the 16th, Saturday the 17th, Lincoln Park in Jersey City, also on the 17th that evening, Berry Lane Park in Jersey City, then on the 18th it goes to Hoboken, and then to Kearney Harrison, and then on the 25th back to Jersey City, and then the 18th I have one out of order, it's in Bayonne. So go to the website, and Veronica, email me, king@wbai.org, and give me more about your ideas for New York City, because I would like to see that happen as well. And then we will share that with Heather, from the theater, and then also with Tia. So just one last thing before we give the information again. Tell us about the Underground Railroad and Hudson County. I'm sure folks have no idea that the railroad even went through or even stopped there.
Well, I may be the wrong person to ask, because there's a plethora, there's a cornucopia of information regarding the Underground Railroad that I never knew. And through this piece, I found out about, in the piece itself, there are some important moments. There's information on John and Thomas Jackson and the Holden Mansion, which are Thomas and John were two incredible free men of color who owned land and helped those get to freedom. We talk about the Communipaw Stone House, where some of the runaways and free people of color were buried. There's a burial site, and there's so much in this piece that, although mixed with the historical truth, and then of course mixed with the dramatic. I hope, give people the taste to hunt down their history. I know that for me, when I see, I know I keep saying mine, but I love them dearly. The actors, our job is to communicate, not just in this piece. Their job is not to just communicate what's on the page, but to get our audience, so excited to look for more.
Tia, we have to leave it there. I want to make sure we have time to get the information out there. The play is Walk by the Way of the Moon, directed by our guest today, Tia Dion Hodge, written by Jacqueline Kennedy, sponsored by the Speranza Theater. It's free and open to the public. BYO shares, because it's being held in parks across Hudson County, including Jersey City, Hoboken, Kearney Harrison, and Bayonne. So go to Speranza.com and get the latest on us, and then let us know what you thought of it. Thank you, Tia, for being on the show. We're going to go out to our break now, and then we'll be coming back talking about an important event that happened this week many years ago in our prison system. So stay with us.
This is G-Love on WBAI, New York, New York. Building Bridges Your Community and Labor Report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges Your Community and Labor Report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m. We build bridges. And it's time we started calling the shots.
Welcome back to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio, all on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. In the background, Attica Blues, the classic by Archie Shepp, who, by the way, made an appearance even at, I think, 85 or 86 years old at the John Coltrane Jazz Festival in Tompkins Square Park. It was great to see him. He has slowed down quite a bit, but still soulful in his saxophone solos and in his singing of some classics and spirituals. Archie Shepp lives on still, a living legend. And in the second half of the program, we're going to be focusing on that. Social unrest in the U.S. hit a boiling point on September 9, 1971, when incarcerated people at Attica State Prison, after months of protesting inhumane living conditions, revolted, seizing part of the prison and taking 39 hostages. A documentary on the rebellion, unavailable for 33 years, is now showing. And it's playing this Wednesday along with a panel of Attica survivors and lawyers, and you can see it for free. So stay with us. The play is called Attica, and it's the story of how the rebellion was the most deadly in 40 years at the time. The film was made in 1974 by Cynthia Firestone, and it is playing this Wednesday at the People's Church in Spanish Harlem El Barrio, as part of the Black Panther Party Film Festival, sponsored by the Black Panther Party Commemoration Committee and the People's Church. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to listen to the rest of Attica Blues, and then we're going on to a trailer for the film and an interview with William Kunstler about it, made by his daughters, and then we'll take your calls. So let's continue. Chief Shep, Attica Blues. He was always on top of things. His albums were always very conscious and political, and he is still that way, still living legend among us. So the topic is the Attica Rebellion, which started on the 9th of September in 1971 and went on for a number of days. We're going to be listening to the trailer right now for the film Attica that will be playing at the People's Church on Wednesday. Now, you might be surprised because you'll hear my voice in this. And no, I did not do the voiceover for this in 1974, but the trailer opens up with a lot of written introduction. And so what I did was I recorded that so you'd be able to hear the opening to the film and to the trailer. So let's take a listen. Attica. Attica, New York, September 9th, 1971. 1,000 incarcerated men at the state prison took control of a prison yard, seized 35 hostages, and issued a list of grievances after peaceful attempts at prison reform had failed. Incarcerated men then called in a diverse group of outside observers to supervise negotiations with the state. After 3 days, prison officials ended the negotiations. In the assault by authorities to regain control, 31 incarcerated men and 9 hostages were killed. Prison officials announced 7 hostages dead from throats cut by incarcerated men. Yet autopsies later showed all 40 deaths caused by police bullets.
You're here now, you're in Attica. We are the bosses. You do what we tell you. When we tell you to walk, you walk. When we tell you to eat, you eat. When we tell you to sleep, you sleep. When we tell you not to talk, you don't talk. They don't look at us like human beings. Meanwhile, they are the ones that are the animals.
And it functions you in a capacity as more or less like a vegetable, because you're not able to think anymore. Because you're told what to do and when to do and how often to do it, right? I don't think that any sane person can tolerate it. I don't care who you are.
You're looking for humane treatment. That's all. Humane treatment. We are given a bath once a week, very briefly, once a week. You see, these things, you're taking away the bare necessities, things that a man needs to feel like he's a human being. These are taken away. You don't have them.
I don't know. I try not to be bitter, you see, dealing with these people, trying to be bitter. But I don't know. Everything they do is designed to destroy you, dehumanize you, make you a complete nothing.
So when God come in here and he tell me to do something, now I'll do it. But now, at the same time, if I feel that he's wrong and I'm right, there's nothing that they can do to me, and this includes patting that last shovel of dirt in my face. They did everything but that. You understand? That's going to change my mind. And this is what I think the attitude of most of the inmates in there.
For now, some time, we've all been concerned about this trouble that was brewing in the prison. You could feel in the air. Anybody that works in a prison or institution could feel things like that in the air. You know something is brewing. We're all apprehensive. But you can't tell when it's going to happen. Every night we expected it.
I don't think nobody would intentionally try to provoke an incident, because they know, they realize that they don't have a chance. But at the same time, like, you just can't keep presenting that garbage and accept somebody to take it.
September 9th, 1971. Incarcerated men at Attica Prison take control of D Yard.
Let's be had a beautiful society in the yard. You know, because basically we realized, you know, that all we had was each other. You know, so we clung to each other in spite of all our different ideologies, and there were 1,000 ideologies out there. you know. They worked it out. For the common good. And it was just for us, all of us together. You understand, all of us eating together, you know. Like having to suffer together. You know, it was 4 days without bathing. You had to smell each other. 4 days of going hungry. Sharing what you had amongst each other. It was really groovy, man, you know. Groovy in the sense that you know what it is to have unity. You dig? It was really a united thing. It was a thing where, you know, where we're going to do this, you know. It was nice. We might have a disagreement on it. But as to the thing as a whole, we're all together, though.
There was no really racial tension, and everybody was looking out for each other, sharing food and sharing cigarettes and putting up things to sleep in and mattresses, you know, the whole organization. And it was just fantastic the way everybody worked together, you know. It was really beautiful.
So that's a clip from the 1974 film Attica, and that was produced and directed by Cinda Firestone, and it's playing this Wednesday at the People's Church. I'll give more information out about that, but I want to let you know you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. And we're talking about the anniversary, the 51st anniversary of the Attica Rebellion. And it took place in upstate New York. And there's so much to be said about it. I think the best thing to do would be to see if we can get you to come over to the People's Church and check out the film and the panel that is also going to include those who were survivors of the Attica Rebellion and also lawyers who were involved in those cases. We're going to turn now to our phone lines. We're going to open up the phones for your questions or comments, and we'll be taking your calls right after we play a short clip of William Kunstler, one of the lawyers who was there. So stay with us for that. The phone line is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. 2877. That is the WBAI Good Morning Nueva York listener line. And the line is brought to you by people just like you, people who have become supporters of the station by becoming members, making a donation of as little as $25 to support the station and have some say in the way it's run, electing local station board members. Larger donations get you great gifts. Books, music, health products, DVDs, all sorts of things. Go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or call our pledge line, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and look at our encyclopedia of great gifts. And become a member, put your money where your ears are, support the station. Our second category of supporters are our WBAI buddies, people who have pledged as little as $10 a month to be automatically transferred from their bank accounts to WBAI's accounts. And you know what it's like to have that income coming in at the beginning of each month that we can count on. This is a real, real time to step up and give whatever you can to give to WBAI.org or to 212-209-2950. For me, this station has meant so much, not only me as a participant, as a producer, or as a guest, but also as a source of information, where there are so many things that I have learned about so many areas in my personal life and my political views, learned about great organizations, gotten information about things like student loans, about health situations, about things going on right in my neighborhood that were right under my nose that I didn't know about. And this is the place for all of that, where you can not only listen to it live, but you can go online and all of it is archived. A tremendous wealth of information. And we were the original broadcasters of many of the historical figures that you know, when nobody else was touching any of these kinds of folks, like Malcolm X, the left anti-war movement, the original women's rights and LGBT advocates. All of those folks had their voices here first on WBAI, and that's still happening to this day. So please become a supporter. Meanwhile, the phone lines are open to 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Now we're going to take a listen to a clip of extraordinary attorney William Kunstler, who was involved in many of the major issues of the left in the 60s and 70s. And here he's talking about his own experiences around the Attica Rebellion and also the experiences of his daughters, filmmakers Emily and Sarah Kunstler, who not only play interviews with him, but also comment on their own recollections of the perspective that he took when he went in to negotiate. And this is all from their film about their father, William Kunstler, called Disturbing the Universe. So let's take a listen to William Kunstler and Emily and Sarah Kunstler.
The national mood of political unrest and protest filtered into the United States prison system. And on September 9th, 1971, prisoners at Attica Correctional Facility seized control of the prison. The prisoners took hostages and demanded better living conditions.
The conditions at Attica were awful. There were no education programs. There were no people of color as guards. The medical care was horrendous. There were all sorts of grievances, and there was a group of people who wrote these grievances down and attempted to get to the state to look at them, and the state refused to look at them, and the entire prison was taken over, and 1,289 inmates took over D Yard, which is one of the four exercise yards at Attica. They called for negotiators, and negotiators were allowed to come in, and your father was immediately called. Your father was in the middle of every bit of this, and it was both a bad moment for him and a great moment for him.
As he walked into D Yard, my father was painfully conscious of his white middle-class prejudice. He told me he worried that he and the other observers might be murdered by the prisoners.
He went in as a negotiator, just like everybody else, but being Bill and being more courageous than most people and also being an actor, you know, a person who wanted to act, not contemplate. In short order, he was the person in charge. He was going to be the lawyer for the inmates.
Dad came to see that the prisoners were taking a courageous and organized stand for their rights. And he wanted to stand beside them.
All of you that say you're politically oriented.
They have a list of what they call practical demands. Just about every one of them have to do with the improvement of prison conditions. This is not a riot of prisoners who are seeking to escape. It is a riot of prisoners who are eminently practical and who are spelling out conditions which they feel should be improved.
We want to apply the New York State minimum wage law to all state institutions. We want to stop to slave labor here. We want to allow all New York State prisoners to be politically active without intimidation or reprisal. We want true religious sanctity. We want to do our own thing in this place. Number four, in all censorship of newspapers, magazines, letters, and other publications coming from the publisher. Five,
Bill Kunstler and I were talking to them, and Bill was more optimistic than I was. He felt that they were not going to come in shooting. But I told him, listen, my experience is when people have guns and tanks and tear gas, they're going to use it.
He made a big mistake. He didn't go to them and say, listen, there are 500, 600 law enforcement out there. They're all being lied to. They all have this unbelievable amount of weapons. And if you don't agree, they're going to blow you away. No one told them that.
I think Dad was caught up in the idealism of the moment. He wasn't realistic about what the prisoners' options really were.
Got to negotiate for an amnesty. And if that real amnesty is obtained, it's on two levels. That there will be no administrative reprisals. And to that, the commissioner has agreed. But there must also, if this is your thought, be no criminal reprisal.
Amen.
After 3 days of negotiations, Dad watched as armed troops amassed outside the prison gates. He and the other observers asked for more time and pleaded for Governor Rockefeller to come speak to the prisoners.
Wait just a minute. Off to the side here, if you will, please. Over behind the ropes. Over behind the ropes.
And when the inmate's mediator, William Kunstler, was turned away at the prison gate, he took that as a sign that the attack was imminent, that his 2 days of work to end this uprising peacefully had failed.
What did the guard tell you?
He said he had just received orders that no one but uniformed personnel would be permitted in.
Why do you think that they're not letting you in, Mr. Kunstler?
I think they're killing people.
5 a.m. September 13th. We're on the roof of A Block, waiting for the assault to begin. This is a team of 270 rifle shooters.
Your instructions are that your weapon is not to be taken, nor are you to be taken. You're to meet force with force. There have been some of the prison personnel severely injured here this morning, and we certainly don't want to see any of our people hurt.
Started shooting. It was like all hell broke loose. And the shooting just seemed to go on and on and on and on, and bullets were hitting all around, and you could hear people crying, and you could hear people dying. And it was just like they indiscriminately shot everyone.
I smell gas that dropped. Some sort of tear gas. And I heard the sounds of shooting. And I knew that people were being murdered inside there. And I began to cry.
Good evening. The four-day insurrection at New York's Attica State Prison came to a tragic end this morning. Negotiations gave way to force, making this the bloodiest prison incident the country has seen in four decades.
...450 people fired over 4,500 rounds of ammunition, including weapons with ammunition that's outlawed by the Geneva Convention, dum-dum bullets that exploded on impact.
In the final hours of the revolt, led primarily by blacks, the inmates murdered 9 of their white hostages. 28 convicts were killed by state troopers and sheriff's deputies who regained control of the prison.
Prison officials told the press that the hostages were killed by prisoners who slit their throats. But they lied. Everyone who died that day was killed by state gunfire.
And there you have a clip from Disturbing the Universe, the film by Emily and Sarah Kunstler, daughters of William Kunstler, and telling this story, his reflections on being a negotiator at the Attica Rebellion and then being outside and present during the bloody attack. So we're going to go to our calls now. And if you have a question or comment about Attica, about our first segment, which was about the Underground Railroad and the play that is going to be over there, Walk by the Way of the Moon, you can call us. And by the way, also, if you want information about the role of the Underground Railroad in Jersey City, just go to the website. You know what? I'll get the website for you in a second. It was something like All About New Jersey, but I'll find that for you, and it has an article that explains that. So the lines are open, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Last call for phone calls. I'll go for 30 seconds. I'll just give a little more background about the film screening, and if we don't have any calls, we'll go to our closing music. So the film Attica, the 1974 film, after being shelved for 33 years, is now going to be shown. It's going to be shown this Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the People's Church on Lexington Avenue and 111th Street. And it is going to be free. There will be a panel discussion afterwards with veteran survivors of the Attica Rebellion, as well as attorneys who were involved in the lawsuits that followed and in representing those who were part of the rebellion. If you want more information about it, email me, king@wbai.org, king@wbai.org, and check it out this Wednesday. If you want to see the play, Walk by the Way of the Moon, go to speranzatheater.com, speranzatheater.com, or .org, and check that out. Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. Thanks to Michael G. Haskins for engineering all of this on WBAI and WBAI.org. You can still check out the show. Coming up next is What's Going On, and it'll be the Labor Edition with Bob Henley. And don't forget, support the station. Become a BAI buddy or a member by going to give to WBAI.org. Have a great day. I'll see you later.
Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies are having fun, you know what I mean. Live in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this whole world is a new world and a moon.
Of Everything Old is New Again, every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again, because Everything Old is New Again. I like it.